You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Monday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you choose to watch this season. And this season, we're going to be watching these New Orleans Saints closely, looking forward to seeing if they're going to be able to get that offense rolling in Vegas. On Monday Night Football, Pepsi is the refreshment that you're going to need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. On today's episode of Locked On Saints, the Saints have the ability to set themselves up amongst the gold standard on Monday night. While even just a loss to Las Vegas would mean a 67% chance that the Saints make the playoffs, a win gives New Orleans the type of momentum that they haven't seen in 7 years. Then we're joined by NOLA.com's Jeff Nowak to talk about his insanely good film breakdowns on what the Saints might look like without Michael Thomas and help get you ready for tonight's matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. As always, I am your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and the Tuesday co-host of Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. With a win on Monday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints could make themselves the odds-on favorite to make the playoffs in the NFC and maintain their lead in the NFC South. It's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. The New Orleans Saints open up the season for the second year in a row at 1-0 and will look to make that 2-0 Monday night in Las Vegas, a record that they haven't started with since the 2013 season. According to the data run by Lee Sharp of NFL Caster, it shows that with a win in the Sin City, New Orleans would be then given a 90% chance to make the playoffs, the third best in the NFL and the lone best in the NFC. The Saints can create a little bit of cushion by winning on Monday night in the NFC South by becoming the only undefeated team, or remaining the only undefeated team, after Sunday's action, which included losses of the Carolina Panthers, who lost their week two contest against the division rival Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are now 1-1. And of course, the now 0-2 Atlanta Falcons, who did it yet again, blowing a 19-point lead to the Dallas Cowboys after having a 99.9% win percentage chance and choosing to stare at an onside kick instead of trying to recover it. What can be more Atlanta Falcons than that? But after starting off the season as the only NFC South team with a win, the Saints have a nice head start in the division, and now they'll look to start up a bit of a win streak here at the early portions of the season. They'll have to do so without star wide receiver Michael Thomas, who suffered a high ankle sprain in the 2020 season opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. According to Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, Thomas has been given a second opinion and was given a 2 to 4 week timetable to return, a timetable that he's surely going to try to beat. So Thomas is out against Vegas officially, and the Saints will look to get their offense rolling with other weapons at various skill positions, of which they have a ton. We'll talk more about that in a moment with Jeff Nowak. Now, there are some good pieces of news for the Saints, though. Drew Brees' record on the road for Monday Night Football is spotless as a favorite, 4-0. And then on top of that, the Saints have been favored 12 times on the road against AFC opponents since Drew Brees and Sean Payton joined, finishing off with a 10-2 record straight up while going 9-3 against the spread in those games. Now, in the game of numbers and odds, the Saints, even without Michael Thomas, look to be in good shape heading to Allegiant Stadium. Statistically, though, the Saints still are at a pretty good advantage here, as they're going to be taking on the 23rd overall defense in terms of DVOA. This Las Vegas Raiders defense allowing 16.5% more successful plays than the average team across the NFL per Football Outsiders. And in the passing game in particular, that percentage above average is a whopping 36.1% after facing a Carolina Panthers offense in week one that struggled until late in the game this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who the Saints offense was able to score 3 touchdowns on. So The Saints do get a favorable matchup here in week two and a favorable environment as well, traveling from Monday Night Football, where Drew Brees always plays his best ball. And they're going to be doing it in a new stadium with no real crowd noise and no crowd present, even on the road. So a win Monday night doesn't seem all that far-fetched. And if they can get it, it all but stamps their ticket to the 2020 playoffs, at least as far as the early odds go. So far, so good for the Saints, who have arrived safely in Las Vegas and are going to be set to take on the Raiders here. But we're going to look ahead to it with Jeff Nowak coming through from NOLA.com to help us preview what the Saints offense might look like without Michael Thomas. And just looking at the matchup, all told, can the Saints start off their season 2-0 for the first time since 2013? We'll have more on that next for you here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities, whether they're our corner stores, our coffee shops, or just whatever your favorite spot might be. Local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by name, and they're always giving back, making a difference, and going the extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now is the time for us to return the favor. The next time that you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. All right, Houdat Nation, it is my great pleasure to welcome into today's episode of Locked On Saints, Jeff Nowak, the sports digital producer for NOLA News, as well as The Advocate. Excellent film breakdowns by this guy. Make sure you check him out over on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak, NOWAK. Make sure you go and check him out immediately. You can pause the episode, go follow him, and come back if you want to. I ain't going to be mad at you. Jeff is also the host of a few podcasts as well. Birdwatch, covering the New Orleans Pelicans, as well as Running It Back, where he recently talked about one of my favorite childhood movies, Cool Runnings. Jeff, how are you, man?
I'm good, Ross. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure, man. I follow and love all the work that you do. You are fantastic when it comes down to all of the film breakdowns and everything that you put out and all the different avenues that you put it out in as well. So I'm excited So I'm excited to dig a little bit deeper into the Saints and Raiders matchup with your help because of what you're going to be able to bring here. So let's start off with a little bit of the biggest news, of course, what you wrote over by at NOLA.com, a fantastic film breakdown there. Michael Thomas is going to be out during this game. So who was the player that you picked to have a big day in the receiving game come Monday Night Football?
Well, it's tough. It's tough because you look at a team that has all of these weapons, and the real question is, how are they going to use these weapons without having Michael Thomas to draw a lot of that attention? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I've been hyping this guy up all season or all offseason in terms of what could Jared Cook do with more targets. Mm-hmm. You know, he was probably the most efficient guy in the NFL in terms of generating big plays in his opportunities. He only had 65 targets last season. He had 24 plays of 15 yards or more, which is just mind-bogglingly efficient when you think about it. One third of every pass is thrown his way went for 15 yards or more. Think about that for a second. And so he's the guy that you look at as, in terms of the big play, the big game, he's the guy who I think is the most likely to have the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. But you look at a guy like Tre'Quan Smith, who he talked mm-hmm. this week about how he's really starting to understand his role in the offense a lot more. He talked about how last year he was kind of guessing a lot in terms of he thought he knew what he was supposed to do in a particular situation, but he wasn't sure.
Right.
And now he just feels like he has a much better understanding of whether he's playing the X, playing the Y, playing the Z, if he's in the slot. Like he has a better understanding of what he's supposed to do. And when you're playing with a guy like Drew Brees, that's very important because if he doesn't think you know what you're going to be doing on a particular play, he's not going to trust you to do that on a particular play.
Right.
And I think that's why bringing a guy like Emmanuel Sanders in was so valuable, because he's a guy that you always trust to know where he is. But even he admitted that he hasn't quite picked up all the offensive sets of the Saints run. So I think when you look at a guy who might blow up on that stage, you look at Jared Cook playing against his former team on Monday Night Football.
Right.
But then obviously Tre'Quan Smith is the other guy that you expect to get a lot more attention as he goes throughout the game plan. If I had to pick a wild card, I think, and I wrote about this a little bit. I think Benny Fowler is a guy to keep an eye on because he does a lot of things that are going to be valuable without Michael Thomas in terms of being that big body who can hold up on the outside.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to take two guys and move them out of position as much as people seem to think that that's what they're going to do in Emmanuel Sanders and Tre'Quan Smith. I think mm-hmm. their roles are going to be similar and they might get targeted more, or they might be the first read more often than they would have been. But I think Benny Fowler is a guy who you can throw on the weak side of the offense away from the tight end. And he's a guy who you trust to block when right. you throw some weak side toss plays or you run to the weak side of the defense. And I expect to see him get a lot more snaps. He got 7 snaps against the Bucs in week 1. I would mm-hmm. expect to see a lot more from him.
Yeah, and I think that I'm glad you brought up Benny Fowler because he does make a lot of sense, right? I mean, he has experience operating opposite Emmanuel Sanders. They did it together in Denver. And then, of course, the chemistry that he built up very quickly with Drew Brees, you have to imagine that that's got to count for something, particularly when you get into a situation to where Drew Brees is without probably his most comfortable receiver, you know, the receiver that he is most comfortable with in terms of, you know, I can go to this guy anytime. And you want somebody that you have that chemistry with, even if it is young chemistry. If it's chemistry, it's chemistry.
Yeah, and early in the training camp, Benny Fowler told reporters that, you know, one of the reasons he's here is because Drew Brees vouched for him. Drew right. Brees likes him.
Right.
And there's very good reasons why Drew Brees will like a guy, and usually it's going to be because he trusts them to do what he needs them to do in the offense. Brees did not have a good game week 1. He admitted that post-game. Mm-hmm. And that's, you don't want to come off a week where you consider you played poorly and then lose your chief offensive weapon.
Right.
So the more you can keep, you can find guys that you trust to do the right thing and run, you know, when you send them on an option route, you see the same thing and you react the same way. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's a big part of the Saints offensive success. But I mean, Alvin Kamara too, like,
right.
You have so many weapons in this offense. If any team was equipped to lose their number one wide receiver and really not miss a beat, it's probably the Saints.
Yeah. And you did a really good job as well. Another article that you posted to where you broke down what the Saints did in week 1 in the plays that Michael Thomas wasn't on the field. What can you tell us about where they looked during that time?
Yeah. So there were 13 snaps they ran with Michael Thomas off the field. One was a kneel down, so we'll exclude that. The other 12 mm-hmm. broke down as 8 run plays, 4 Alvin Kamara runs, 3 Latavius Murray runs, 1 Taysom Hill quarterback run. And then there were 4 passes. One was the deep pass from Taysom Hill to Kamara on the double pass. Mm-hmm. 3 of them were by Brees, 2 were incomplete, and 1 was the 5-yard pass to Sanders for the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And what you saw when he left the field was very heavy power football.
Yeah.
They ran, you know, all but one of those sets had 2 or more tight ends. All but one of those sets had 2 tight ends and either a fullback in Michael Burton mm-hmm. or an extra blocker one way or another. And so I think if that it's tough to really draw a straight line there because a lot of you don't take Michael Thomas off the field if to run your best offense.
Right.
So you got to take it with a grain of salt. But I think that it does tell you that when Michael Thomas isn't on the field, the Saints really emphasize the power running game and their tight ends. The Emmanuel Sanders touchdown came with 3 tight ends on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things to keep an eye on going forward is how often they're going to utilize that 3 tight end look. Because to me, that's a really interesting way the Saints are going to incorporate Adam Trautman into the offense mm-hmm. because he's a guy that who held up really well in run blocking. He was actually the highest graded run blocker on the Saints in week 1, which is really impressive for a rookie
right.
without a preseason. And so that's really the question when you talk about Adam Trautman is where can you use him within the offense? If he's holding up well in the run blocking, then that gives you a lot more opportunities. Mm-hmm. And when you have Jared Cook, Josh Hill, and Adam Trautman on the field, it creates a really difficult decision for the defense because they're going to want to load up to stop the run. But Jared Cook is probably the best pass catching weapon on the Saints.
Right.
Even if you only have Emmanuel Sanders on the field, which was the case for that touchdown, he was the only wide receiver on the field. They're still attacking you in the passing game,
right.
despite coming out in this heavy power set that would be more suited for like a goal line opportunity or goal line run than a pass play.
Yeah, absolutely. Outside of the Drew Brees getting the Bucs defensive line to jump on a 4th-and-2 with no fans in the stands, a touchdown pass to a wide receiver and 13 personnel was easily my favorite part of that game on Sunday. We have a little bit more to talk about here with Jeff, including another wide receiver to watch out for that we haven't mentioned just yet. So we'll have that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. If there's one thing that I would say that the Atlanta Falcons needed outside of maybe common sense, it is protein, because clearly they were not strong enough to keep hold of that big lead that they had. So maybe they should have checked out our good friends over at Built Bar. Today's episode is brought to you, of course, by Built Bar. Go check them out, builtbar.com, the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's even deliciouser than it was before, and we want to make sure that you know all about it. They've got 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors, which include flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. And of course, they have all of your favorites from before as well. The OG flavors, peanut butter, mint brownie, salted caramel, and 12 other original flavors as well. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're great for the health conscious person that's looking to maintain weight or lose weight and still indulge in a delicious treat. Now you can get a free cooler with any purchase while supplies last. Just go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get $10 off of your next order, whether it's your first or your next. Just use that promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, Jeff, so we talked a bit about all the weapons for the Saints, even with Michael Thomas out. Once again, joined by Jeff Nowak. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. What do you have? I know that you found some interesting stuff about Deontay Harris as well. It's just a receiver we haven't mentioned yet that I think we should talk about briefly in terms of, you know, is he somebody that we should have our eyes on in this Raiders game as well?
Yeah, Deontay Harris might be the most fun player that I've watched on a football field in a while. Mm. And I think you're only really scratching the surface of what he can do. Obviously, his value in the return game is so great that you're never going to see him run, you know, 30, 40 snaps on offense. It's just not going to happen because he is too valuable to lose in special teams to just send him out there. And he's not a big guy. You don't want him taking a ton of hits. But what I saw in that, I want to say it was the first play of the second quarter, really kind of struck my eye because it was the play. You lined Taysom Hill up at quarterback. You had Michael Thomas out on the wide set on the right, and you had Deontay Harris wide set on the left. And Deontay Harris kind of runs out of the shot and you can't see what he does. And Taysom Hill eventually just runs for 15 yards and it's a successful play. And I had a hunch when I watched that live, but I couldn't confirm it until they posted the All-22 later in the week, is Deontay Harris ran the same route as he did against the Vikings, where he just took a deep vertical release, kind of bluffed to the corner and then broke back inside of the zone corner on that side. And if Taysom Hill had time, he had about 20 yards to lead Deontay Harris to the corner of the end zone for a 50-yard touchdown. And I broke this down. If you want to go over to our YouTube account for the Spar Saints content, I kind of broke this play down, but the reason it didn't work is because the offensive line didn't hold up. You know, Taysom Hill comes out of his boot, and you can see he's looking to Harris on that post, but he hadn't quite won yet. You could argue that he could have just stepped in and thrown the ball, but you don't throw a 50-yard pass unless you think your corner, your receiver's going to win.
Right.
And Eric McCoy, he got beat to the inside, and there was some I can't remember what defensive tackle it was, but he just forced Taysom Hill to bounce out. And the funny thing is, the Bucs blew this play up about as well as you can, and it still resulted in 15 yards. But this is essentially the same play that they ran in the Vikings game with a few minor differences that went for that long 50-yard pass from Taysom Hill to Deontay Harris. The two key differences were Michael Thomas wasn't stacked over Harris. He was over to the opposite side of the field. Mm-hmm. And then instead of an extra lineman, they used Michael Burton, who I think had a great game in run blocking and just giving the offense just an extra element that I think they're going to go to a little bit more, especially if they emphasize run, you know, power running schemes the way that I think they will going forward.
Yeah, I joked around. I had Amy Just on the show last week, and we were talking about special teams, and I joked around about this being equal parts Locked On Saints and Locked On Special Teams, but it's also equal parts Locked On Fullbacks. I love me some fullback play. We've had Michael here on the show before. He's excellent, and so glad to see him back in the Saints uniform after his unfortunate early exit last year in the preseason. But sure. Yeah, I look forward to seeing all the different weapons that the Saints have at their disposal. You know, we talked about Taysom Hill a little bit, but really only talked about him as a passer. He's also a factor in the receiving game. Ty Montgomery, we're yet to see exactly how the Saints plan to deploy him. So there's a lot of different ways that this Saints offense can go to find their rhythm after, you know, stumbling a little bit coming out of the gate here, but still having a great game thanks to defense and special teams, which we've talked about, you know, a lot, of course, from the Tampa Bay game. But what are your sort of expectations going into this game against the Las Vegas Raiders, traveling to Las Vegas to take them on? We've talked about the offense. What about over on the defensive side? Do you think the Saints can keep up what we saw from them last week?
Yeah, so they're going to be without Chase Hansen, which kind of gives them a little bit of a tight window at linebacker in that rotation. I thought Alex Anzalone had a great start, and as long as he can stay healthy, he's such an important piece in that group. They really, I want to say, they only ran three snaps out of their base defense against the Bucs.
Yeah,
that's right. Which is crazy when you consider they went up against a team with Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard. Like, this is a team that is big. They have big wide receivers. They have strong running backs. They have big tight ends. And they still ran, you know, what, 95% of their defensive snaps out of the nickel and dime.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing, because it means that the Saints trust their smaller defensive players to make tackles. And they did against the Bucs. And I think that's going to be even more important against the Raiders, because the Raiders, if you look at how Derek Carr has played under John Gruden, they're taking a lot of the same concepts that the Saints run with Drew Brees. It's a lot of east-west type pass plays. They're getting their playmakers out in space, and it really just puts the emphasis on the defensive backs to come up and make tackles. Malcolm Jenkins and CeeDee Deuce need to be able to come up and make tackles, and they did really well against the Bucs. And I think that, you know, these are guys that you trust to keep doing that going forward. It's so tough to get a read on NFL offenses right now.
Yeah.
I always say you should never take too many, you know, hard takes out of week one. And that's so even more especially true this time around with no preseason and no fans. But for the Saints, I really want to see them. You want to see them tackle well, and you want to see them, you know, get home with that pass rush. Marcus Davenport is going to be out again, and that's going to be that's a big loss. But you know, they've played a lot without him the last few years, and I think Carl Granderson was a guy I was really impressed with in week one. Trey Hendrickson has always impressed me when he gets the opportunity to contribute. So, you know, I think the defense is for real. I don't think that's going to fade.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny. I cautiously want to agree with it, but at the same time, I want to buy into it entirely because it's been a while since we've seen a Saints defense start out this hot. Usually we watch them catch rhythm over the course of a season. But I just think that when you have this added veteran presence like Malcolm Jenkins, Janoris Jenkins, you have the depth at linebacker, the depth at defensive line, as we've seen. I just submitted an article over at Canal Street Chronicles breaking down the Saints defensive line. They went in with 8 defensive linemen against Tampa Bay Buccaneers and found, in terms of combinations of player, they played 21 different player combinations, 31 different positional combinations, including 3-man sets, 4-man sets, and they had 1 5-man set out there, because why not? It's Dennis Allen. That's what he's going to do. So it's a lot of fun watching this team, and I think that they'll continue to be fun here in week 2. Wrapping up here with Jeff Nowak again, @Jeff_Nowak on Twitter. Jeff, to wrap up with you real quick, I'm just going to ask you, from one sort of key to victory, you talked about tackling, you talked about offensive rhythm. What else would be sort of a key to victory for you for this game against the Las Vegas Raiders?
How the Saints manage the clock and extend drives is going to be the biggest thing to watch. If they're having a lot of 3 and outs, that's a problem. If they're not, if the only way they're scoring is by hitting a big play, you know, that's a problem. You need to be able to stack first downs, because that's what Drew Brees does. And I think that the time of possession stat is going to be very important, you know, on the road, but without noise.
Right.
I think that's going to be the one to watch in terms of, you know, you want to see a lot of 10 play, 8 minute drives, not three and outs where you just hand the ball back and they can just pound you with Josh Jacobs over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. Jeff Nowak at Jeff_Nowak on Twitter, sports digital producer for Nolan News and The Advocate. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute blast. And thanks for all the knowledge that you dropped today. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
So we'll be back tomorrow, y'all, with a brand new episode of Locked On Saints. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a Victory Tuesday this week, this time around. And then, of course, right after that, we'll get into Wednesday, where hopefully we can get, I don't know how quickly we're going to be able to do film study here, but if nothing else, we'll do our analytical look at the game. And then by Thursday, we're moving on. We got the Packers coming to town. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, going to be a lot of fun on Sunday Night Football. So we'll eventually turn our gaze toward that next game pretty quickly this week, of course, with this one being the Monday night matchup. But for tonight, have fun, enjoy the game, and stay safe. And of course, I will holler at you tomorrow. We'll either be talking about how the Saints won or what went wrong one way or another. We will be here for this Tuesday episode coming up tomorrow. I thank you very much, as always, y'all, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. If you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.